This is the Senate Committee on Judiciary. We're meeting on April 28, 1987 at 3 o'clock p.m. in Hearing Room 343. This will be a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2063 and Senate Bill 1020, and a work session on Senate Bills 133, 325, 490, 518, 746, 812, 838, House Bill 2086, 2158, and 2191.
Those are your original.
Senate Committee on Judiciary come to order at 3:12 p.m. Senators Brockman, Brenneman, and Frye here as a subcommittee to take public testimony on House Bill 2063. Tony DiLorenzo, Motor Vehicle Division.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Tony DiLorenzo from the Motor Vehicles Division. House Bill 2063 was introduced at the request of the division. It is a modest proposal to make our highway safer by improving our ability to detect and control drivers who have mental disorders which may affect their ability to drive safely. A key provision of the bill requires that when a court will notify us when the court finds a person guilty except for insanity of a traffic offense and the court commits the person to the jurisdiction of the Psychiatric Security Review Board. We estimate this bill will affect perhaps 6 to 12 people a year. And you may be wondering why we would even bother with a bill that affects that few people, but let me briefly describe the background. This bill grew out of a tragic fatal motor vehicle accident in 1981 when a man named Paul Ryken, traveling 85 miles an hour on 82nd Avenue in Portland, Oregon, struck another vehicle and killed two people, Joseph Pagnotta and James Kane. It turns out that, and he had a valid license at the time, it turns out that Mr. Ryken had been convicted just 3 years previously of reckless, or actually found not guilty except for insanity of reckless driving 3 years previously, and had been committed to the jurisdiction of the Psychiatric Security Review Board as a person who was a potential danger to society. But there is nothing in the statutes that requires anybody to notify the Motor Vehicles Division. We did not know. We did not take his license away, and so he continued to drive with tragic results. I should add that the lawsuit which came out of this case has so far cost the state of Oregon over $250,000. And this bill is a modest proposal to close that one little loophole. I have checked personally with the Psychiatric Security Review Board. Courts commit to their jurisdiction perhaps 90 persons a year who may be a danger to society and perhaps ought to be committed. And from 6 to 12 of those people a year are committed to their jurisdiction for traffic offenses. If the committee wishes, I can go through the provisions of the bill section by section. Otherwise, that concludes my prepared testimony.
Questions? Refresh my memory now on traffic offense. What is a traffic offense?
Mr. Chair, traffic offense is defined in the Motor Vehicle Code, which I left. My briefcase.
In other words, is reckless driving a traffic offense or is it a traffic crime?
Offense, Mr. Chair, would include crime as well as infraction. It's the broader, more inclusive term.
All right. Mr. Chair, traffic offense is defined at 801.555. Any violation of a traffic ordinance of a city, municipal, or quasi-municipal corporation except ordinances governing parking of vehicles, any provision of law for which a criminal or traffic infraction penalty is provided in the Vehicle Code, any provision of law for which a criminal or traffic infraction penalty is provided in ORS Chapter 767. So yes, Mr. Chair, traffic offense includes both traffic infractions and traffic crimes.
Okay, well, any questions, Senator Brockway?
Does it, on lines 14 through 16 on page 1, the except for insanity throws me off a little bit. I know what it means, but you mean you have to be charged by doing for doing something crazy, or does that mean that if you've been otherwise declared insane by whoever does that, then you notify them, or do you have to do something crazy behind the wheel of a car before you notify the motor vehicles? I just like clarify that in my mind, if you will.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brockman, I'm not familiar with criminal statutes in detail, but as I understand the statutory scheme, when a person is found guilty except for insanity of any kind of a criminal offense, the court is required by some statutes in Chapter 161 to make a finding. The judge must make a finding and either find the person not a danger to society, in which case they're supposed to discharge the person, or if they find the person is a potential danger to society, they must notify the Psychiatric Security Review Board and place the person under their jurisdiction. And I don't know exactly how a court decides that someone...
No, I'm not asking how
that... Did that answer the question?
Senator Brockman, I think a partial response...
No fault to you, but no, it didn't.
The offense has to be related. It has to be a traffic offense.
Okay.
So if someone was found, had the insanity plea for a robbery, it wouldn't apply to that person.
Okay.
Yes, or found guilty except for insanity for arson. It has to be
traffic-related.
It has to be traffic-related. I don't think we could make a suspension stand up in a court of law that was not related, that we could show was related to driving.
All right. That's fine. Thank you.
Other questions? Can you summarize the new language on page 3, or tell me in a word what the subsections B through E add to the current law?
Mr. Chair, I'll be happy to. It looks kind of complicated. What that's doing is it's simply allowing us to waive the $44 reinstatement fee for people who are suspended as a result of a mental disorder. We suggested long ago to the legislature that people who are suspended effectively through no fault of their own should not have to pay that fee.
Anything else? All right, thank you. Members want to leave this for a work session. A couple of you just got in. Maybe you didn't hear all the testimony.
Anything complicated about any problems about the testimony?
Well, I don't think so.
I don't see any.
All right.
You want to move it?
Yeah. Senator Brockman. Go ahead.
Move House Bill 2063 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Brockman moves House Bill 2063 to the floor. Due pass. Call the roll, please.
Berman?
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Owen?
Aye.
Berman?
Hill?
Wire?
Aye.
Five.
Aye. I'm curious. Now let's go to Senate Bill 746.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
This is the other side of the coin of the bill on Psychiatric Review Board. That same case and the same client.
Oh, yes. Same case. That's right. Yeah.
they hadn't recorded it, they...
Right.
Okay, now, it's going to go 746.
Mr. Chair.
Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a bill that we've heard. It relates to allowing peace officers in, particularly in unincorporated areas, to ticket vehicles for motor vehicle offenses, just the way a meter person would do in a city or a county with an ordinance. There's a proposed amendment, SB 746-1, in your files, and it would require that when mail is sent to the person to appear in court after not appearing on the date of the citation, it must be sent by certified mail, restricted delivery, return receipt requested. That's the procedure that the Motor Vehicles Division uses before they'll suspend someone. So that's the amendment that's proposed.
All right. I think that was the only concern the committee had with this bill. And you say the certified mail restricted delivery return receipt requested. That is currently the requirement for notices of suspension?
That's the way the Motor Vehicles Division notifies people of a suspension that they wish to take.
What's restricted delivery?
It has to be...
Do not forward to...
Signed by the addressee, right? Only? Someone else?
That might be.
Someone else can't pick it up for you and sign for it?
It has to be by the addressee.
Well, it certainly provides adequate safeguards in the event that of a license suspension. I'm wondering if it's really desirable to have to go that far in terms of parking citation. I don't know that there's going to be how many of these letters that'd be sent out, but... Yes, Senator Cohen.
You're going to take someone who's it's a little like taking away their car if somebody else is driving it, and I know there is a responsibility, but I think if you don't get proper notice, you're going to have the same problems as we always run into when we try to take away people's cars and find out we've taken away somebody, in reality, somebody else's car or a different owner, you know, shared, so I think it's fine.
Okay, sure.
Well,
true, now that I've reflected, because the bill does provide that, you know, the citation does issue, and it says that you should come to court, and then you still have a second chance, so, all right. Yeah. It would be a pretty far-reaching act to issue a warrant for somebody's arrest for illegal parking. I would have to...
Well, I mean, if I were here, if my son took my car, for example, or I lent my daughter my car and she ended up parking someplace like that, and then I didn't get a notification in Lake Oswego that my car had... that I had gotten that kind of citation, I mean, I could wander around and have my license suspended unbeknownst.
Well, I think it's probably a pretty good safeguard. Any other comments, questions about this bill?
I move the amendments, Mr.
All right, Senator Cohen moves 746-1 amendments, dated 4-16-87, to Senate Bill 746. Is there any discussion on that? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Cohen?
I move it to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Senator Cohen
Bill 746 amended.
Senator Cohen moves Senate Bill 746 as amended to the floor. Do pass. Any discussion on that? Call roll, please.
Brennan?
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Brennan? Sayle? Wire?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Now we'll go to House Bill 2086.
Mr. Chair.
Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is, I think, the third time we've seen this bill, hopefully the last. This relates to corrections industries, and in the original printed form, it staggered the terms of the Board of Directors for corrections industries. There was a proposal that the corrections industries be given the authority to appoint their manager. That was initially put forth in an LC amendment and passed out. It was recalled by this committee, and now it's here for work session. There has been a compromise worked out that's reflected both in revised hand-grossed House Bill 2086, which is in your file, as well as in House Bill 2086-2 LC amendments. The compromise language on the hand-engrossed version is described on page 2, the last paragraph, which requires the Assistant Director for Corrections to consult with the board prior to appointing or discharging the manager. The other language in 2086-2 is technical to improve the reading of the bill. Doesn't make any other substantive changes. Corey Streisinger, the Governor's Counsel, is present, as well as some members of the Corrections Industries Board, if you have any questions.
I'll move adoption of the amendments as long as Senator Wires. Well, read that they're friendly.
Then why amendments?
Okay, then Senator Wires.
I don't care. Everybody out there smiling, that's all I care about.
Senator Cohn moves the revised hand-engrossed.
Amendments are in 2086.
Oh, these are the amendments of the these are the dash two amendments
right.
To House Bill 2086. And any discussion on that? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Wires, are you?
I'd love to move the bill to the floor.
Okay, Senator Wires.
Pass recommendation. I want to thank the two members on the far ends for helping me.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
We had my enough partner, fun. We had enough fun the first time.
My minority report partner, I think, will agree that it's okay.
All right. Senator Wires moves House Bill 2086 as amended to the floor. Do pass. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Aye.
Rothman?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Hamby? Hill?
Wires? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That carries. We will go to House Bill 2158.
Mr. Chair.
Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill has a few changes in it. One change would require that the examinations for dangerous offenders be conducted locally and not at the state hospital. We've heard testimony on that, and there did not seem to be any objection to that change. There is a hand-engrossed with House and LC amendments version of the bill in your file. The hand-engrossed version reflects the House changes, which requires that there be a motion of the district attorney prior to the examination being conducted, and that the examination be conducted in a local correctional facility. It also includes the LC amendment, which allows the examination to be performed by a psychiatrist or psychologist. You may recall this was an issue as to how far we were going to allow the examinations to go, limited to psychiatrist, expanded to psychiatrist or psychologist, or expanded to psychologist, psychiatrist, and qualified mental health examiner. The last version with the widest expansion was before us at the last work session and drew some comments and concerns. This language struck a balance between restricting it to psychiatrists and expanding it to also include mental health examiners.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wires.
It was my impression, but I'm not absolutely sure of this, but there was that some of us were a little bit. I like the psychologist part of it. I think that's the right balanced myself. But this, upon motion of the district attorney, we didn't have any testimony about why the House put that in. I don't know if counsel found out more about that after the hearing.
Yes, I think he did.
Okay.
Senator Wires, Senator Hill had raised the inquiry, and I directed a memo to him. The practice, according to the Judicial Department, is that in every county, it is the district attorney who requests it, and the judge won't order it on his or her own part. Because this is a potential 30-year indeterminate sentence, it would seem to be not in the neutral judge's role to initiate this process. So this basically conforms the law to what the practice is to have the prosecutor initiate the examination. There is a possibility under existing law for the defendant to also request the examination, but given the 30-year sentence, I don't think it's ever happened.
Well, then I would move the -4 amendments. Is that the motion we need?
Have the -4 amendments been incorporated into the Hannon Gross thing we're looking at?
They have been.
Okay.
2158.
There is, however, in addition to the
-4, there's something else in here.
The -4 amendments deal with the psychiatrist and psychologist. So that, in addition to the House amendments that are already part of the bill, reflect what's in the Hannon Gross version.
So by moving the -4, that will put that into what the House has already done? And
correct. That's right.
I'd move that.
Senator Wires moves -4 amendments to House Bill 2158 dated April 17th. That's not all, though, is it? Which is the other one that's incorporated in the Hannon Gross besides
the House? The House amendments.
Oh, the House amendments. Okay, sure. All right. Any discussion on Senator Wire's motion? Any objection to that? All right. That's so ordered. Now, then there is one little item here on line 5. If you look at your Hannon Gross bill or the original bill, on line 5, you see after the word court, there's a comma. And would the change in the language as shown in the Hannon Gross bill upon motion of the district attorney and if an opinion of the court and so forth, you can see that the comma shouldn't be there. Any objection to having a comma removed?
It could be nice.
Counsel, you see that?
Yeah.
All right. There's no problem with that. Well, that'll be incorporated in the amendment then. So Senator Wires then moves House Bill 2158. As amended to the Senate floor, do pass. Okay. All right, any discussion on that motion? Call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. That carries. All right. Now, I will tell the audience here. Where we're going to go next?
The one week of things.
We are going to take up Senate Bill 838. House Bill 2191, Senate Bill 812, Senate Bill 133, Senate Bill 325, Senate Bill 490, Bill 518, Senate Bill 1020. I mean, that's the program that's outlined. Now, whether we do it or not is another thing.
These are all easy bills. We'll be done with these in 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Hmm.
All right. So here we go with Senate Bill 838.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 838, we considered a week and a half ago. It deals with changes in the law dealing with marriage licenses. It is supported by the county clerks. And we have some amendments in the file from Senator Hamby dealing with the question of handing out pamphlets on fetal alcohol syndrome. At the time of the hearing, there was no opposition to the underlying bill. Chuck Stearns, who's the Amhill County Clerk, is here and advises me that on the dash two amendments on line six, where it says the county clerk shall give to the licensees, they would prefer that that read may. I'm not aware that there's any other opposition to the amendments.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
Do we have the word shall in some of these other pamphlets or not? Or do what else do we require them to give out by the word shall, or do we? Is there anything else?
Counsel.
I'm not sure we do, but if you want to ask Mr. Stearns, he's here.
I have samples.
Yeah, I don't know if my question is, do they have shalls associated with each one of the samples? Or are they mays? Are they maybes or are they shalls?
Well, I'm not sure that they hand out any of those at this point. I think those are examples of what they will hand out, if I understand correctly. So do you want to have Chuck tell you about that?
Okay, what's the question now?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't really have any problem with they shall hand them out if they don't.
I think the word shall in line six was a concern of mine.
If they have them, they ought to send them out.
Well, I know, but you don't.
Or maybe you can say shall if available.
Well, they're getting them for nothing.
The concern, if they can.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Brennan.
Mr. Stearns here, he can probably tell us in a quick 30 seconds everything that they pass out now.
Well, that's not my concern, what they pass out. My concern is, it's just a technical question. Are they legally bound to pass out anything else by virtue of a shall in the statute? And that's just a plain yes or no answer, no further discussion.
You can give us an indication there on that. You don't even have to come up on the record. We'll just note your response into the record. Did you hear Senator Cohen's question? Or do you want him to come up, Senator?
All I want to know is there anything else that they are required to pass out or give to someone?
No, we are not.
All right. The answer from the... Is it the Amhill County Clerk?
Yes.
All right. The Amhill County Clerk's in the audience and indicates that there's nothing else that the law requires that the clerk pass out or hand out to the marriage license applicants. Other than the license, yes. All right. Does anyone have any...
I'd like to change that wording.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Does anybody have any objection if we change Charlemagne?
Well, I sort of do. I don't know. I am concerned that they just kind of leave it in a pile.
Yep.
Frankly, I really do.
Well, let me tell you two reasons.
You could say shall when available or shall something or other. I don't like the word may very much in there because I know that they're going to not physically hand it to people. It'll all be there in a pile.
And
people never pick it up.
Well, all right. Now, are you going to give every 60-year-old couple that comes in this pamphlet? You have to, I guess, if you leave the word shall in there.
Sure. They better pass it on to their grandchildren, if not.
Oh, come on.
I don't have any problem with that.
What happens when the March of Dimes runs out of money and the county has to go out here now and buy
it. That's what I'm willing to say, when available or when provided by the health of it, which we have. I'm not, you know, I'm willing to look at some. Some other language that says that gives them, you know, that they can't hand out anything that they don't have, and that we're not requiring them to run out and make Xerox copies of something they don't have. But I have some reservation about even bothering to pass a bill on because I don't think they'll pick up the hand.
Oh, any? Do you want to make any?
Well, let me see.
I just
move them as they are, then.
Pardon?
I don't have a problem moving them as they are. If they don't have them, they won't be able to pass them out. But in the meantime, they shall.
There's no penalty.
There isn't any penalty.
All right. Is that your motion?
I've moved the amendments -2.